I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture this morning is from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on his way. And may the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Thank you, Jim. As I always tell you, when you read Scripture, you just need to go a little deeper and you can find that there are more than a few stories within one passage. This is one of those, and it's one of those that is really important because the Gospels offer us so much in symbolism. And all too often, we miss their subtle points. And again, this is one of those that has a subtle point. I want you to kind of visualize. You're walking along with Jesus, and you hear this blind beggar screaming, hollering, "Jesus, son of David, Jesus, son of David." Now, if you can picture the way it's written in this scripture, you'll see that the people here are saying, "Hey, be quiet." And what does he do? He just gets louder. Kind of reminds me of raising kids, especially teenagers. I tell them, "Be quiet," and they get louder. All three of mine would do that. I'd say, "You need to be quiet." And they'd just get louder because it's like, "Well, you didn't hear me the first time." But he's hollering, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me," again and again and again. And the people are telling him, basically, "This guy's too busy for you." But Jesus stops dead in his tracks. And he calls Bartimaeus over. You ever had people in your life, whether it be children or friends or whatever, that holler to get attention? And they get louder and louder because they want you to pay attention to them. And you think, "My goodness, I mean, how loud can they be?" And sometimes you find out that's not good. But it's just the way that people tend to be when they want to be heard. We're not talking about an angry holler, because Bartimaeus was anything but angry. If anything, he was excited. He knew something special was coming his way, and he wanted to be a part of it. When I got out of the Navy, I went straight back to college, and I carried a full load of classes at night. And I worked in a bank 40 hours a week, Monday through Friday, and I had a church on weekends. And I don't mind telling you, I was stressed. I thought I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof because I was 27 years old, but I wasn't. And it began to get to me keeping this schedule, and I started having panic attacks. And one time I had one where I couldn't even move. So I go to the doctor, and the doctor says, "You got to cut something out." Well, I'm thinking, "Well, how do you do that? I'm trying to get my education. I'm going to school. I have a job in a church. I have a job at the bank, which makes it possible for me to take that weekend job at a church." And I couldn't figure out how I was supposed to do that. But during that time, I found myself so stressed, I was snapping at my family. They would say something to me, and at that time, there was a wife and two small children, and I would just blow up. Like, "What do you want? It's not like I don't have enough." I was probably averaging 4 to 5 hours of sleep at that time. trying to keep up. But it got to where it was so bad, and I was feeling so irritated anytime there were unexpected interruptions. And before long, things around our home started reflecting the patter of my hurry style, because I'd run in, I'd get something, I'd run back out. I had to do this, and I had to get back out. And family members are saying, hey, and I'm gone. I remember it like it was yesterday, because it was a very painful time looking back. But after supper one evening, the words of my daughter Christina, she was 4. And she cracked me up. Looking back, it was kind of funny. But she was saying loudly that she wanted to tell me something important that had happened at school that day. And because she knew how fast I moved, she hurriedly said, Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I've got to tell you really fast. And I stopped her. And I realized how frustrated this 4-year-old was. And I said, honey, you can tell me. Okay? Speak slowly. You can tell me. And I'll never forget her response. She says, then listen slowly, Daddy. Because I moved so fast that sometimes I didn't really hear what they were saying. 4 years old, she said, listen slowly. Which translated into, then Daddy, pay attention. That's what happens when we get in a hurry. And that's the kind of person that the disciples and others around Jesus felt that he was, is that he's just in such a hurry, and he's going. He doesn't have time for Bartimaeus. Be quiet. Just don't say a word to him. But that wasn't who Jesus was. And Jesus stopped and he said to Bartimaeus, basically, talk slowly. I can hear you. Well, it just amazed everyone around him. Made me wish I was a lot more like Jesus back in those days. But it was tough. But Jesus was not in any way rushed. He called Bartimaeus over and he listened to what he had to say. And he listened slowly. Well, as I said, all too often we become so harried and we're rush to build our careers or accomplish some task, making a family, raising a family, taking care of work, and we make friends feel that they're unimportant. And I don't know about you, but I felt at times, even as a kid, that my parents or my brother or my sister were just too busy for me. And I'd see them zipping by and I was saying, hey, and they were gone. It's not a good feeling. And I am all too aware that I've done that to others. And I was spending that time building a career, going to school, taking care of business. And it didn't occur to me that my family was my business. In counseling sessions, I've heard such situations many times. Apparently, that is one of the great things about being a grandparent, and you hear this all the time. You know, parents will come into counseling and they're frustrated and they're saying, I just can't keep up. I don't know what I'm going to do. The kids are driving me nuts. My spouse is driving me nuts. And on and on. But grandparents always say, well, you know, I get my grandkids. It's no problem because at the end of the day, I send them home. You know, if it's not a 24/7 thing, then I guess, you know, it's a lot easier. But that's one of the great things about being a grandparent. You can be with your grandkids and you can send them home at the end of the day. And the grandparents are no longer trying to build a family, build a career. They're already there, 9 times out of 10. And it takes a lot of stress off of them. Well, Bartimaeus wanted to be heard. He wanted Jesus' full attention. The people around him were basically saying that he's too busy. Jesus, on the other hand, was saying, I'm not too busy for anyone. You're exactly the person I'm here for. So come to me. Once the people got the word to bring Bartimaeus to Jesus, they say, take heart, get up, he is calling you. For they realized Jesus would not turn away any child of God. And that no doubt was a glorious moment for Bartimaeus. I mean, he realized he got Jesus' attention. Someone actually took the time to listen to a blind man. But wait, it wasn't just a blind man. It was a blind beggar. Think about that. We walk out the doors of this church, we go downtown, wherever we may be, and we see a beggar. Is that what we do, is stop and say, what can I do for you? Or do we hurry to our car? Or we see them coming and we turn the other way? Do we have time for a child of God? How do we treat beggars when we are approached by them and hear them call out? I would like to call your attention to something else in this scripture, and this is where we go a little deeper. And it's a real important note that Mark puts in here. It's throughout his scripture. Whenever you read the Gospel of Mark, you're going to see this, because Mark was all too aware of his surroundings and of his world at that time. But notice that when Jesus says, bring him here, Mark doesn't say, and Bartimaeus came. He doesn't do that. He says that Bartimaeus took off his cloak. That's important. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, my teacher, let me see again. Mark makes it a point to tell us that the cloak came off of Bartimaeus because cloaks in those days were very important. One of the things a cloak would indicate is your social status. Those who were high up had really nice cloaks. Those who were poor had tattered cloaks. Well, what did the cloak do? Well, the cloak was good, I mean, especially for a blind beggar or anyone living in the streets, because a cloak would keep you warm at night. Temperature drops, you're getting a little chilly, you have your cloak. The other thing a cloak would do for Bartimaeus in particular and others like him, you lay your cloak out in front of you, just spread it out, and as people go by, they throw the money on your cloak. That's how they gathered their money. Really important thing, a cloak. You read about cloaks on the Roman soldiers, and the beautiful gold inlay and everything else on their cloaks. Cloaks are very important, but it gets to where it's even more important when you think about Jesus. What did Jesus' cloak indicate? Do we hear Mark say anything about Jesus' cloak indicated that he was poor? Does it say that he was rich? We never get any information on the cloak of Jesus except if you touched it, you were healed. If you touched it, you were restored. In this passage, we know Bartimaeus was not a person of wealth and therefore had little power. His cloak would indicate that, but Jesus' cloak had power, but it didn't indicate wealth. So when Jesus says, come here, what did Bartimaeus do? He threw off the old and he went to the new. And when he gets to Jesus, what does Jesus do? He gives him a new life, a life where he can see. Because, see, Bartimaeus left the old life behind when he got rid of that cloak. I wish Mark had fleshed that out a little more and we could have heard what kind of cloak Bartimaeus had after he could see. Probably not one of a rich man. And if there is such a thing as a cloak of happiness, he probably had that. He had never seen, now he can. And just a little caveat here on Jesus' healing. You might recall earlier in Scripture in Mark, Jesus healed a blind man. But when he healed that blind man, he spat, he made clay, he put it on his eyes, and he spoke, he touched. in this scene, Jesus never touches Bartimaeus. He just says, your faith has made you well. The word healed him. And we know that Jesus was wearing his cloak. That's what he did. Jesus' cloak, let's review some things here. Remember the woman with the flow of blood in Mark 5, 27 through 30? All she did is touch his cloak and she was healed. In Mark 6, 56, and wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. Cloaks are important. In Mark 11, 8, many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches they'd cut in the fields. And then, how can we forget Mark 15, 24? And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide who should take his cloak. I don't know if you remember the movie The Robe, but cloak and robe are used interchangeably. And the robe was all about the Roman soldiers wanting Jesus' cloak. It can be a source of power. It can show a lack of power, humiliation, reverence, or whatever, but cloaks are important. And Mark realized the importance, and Mark put that specifically so that we would catch that Bartimaeus threw off his cloak, his old life, and came into a new life in Jesus Christ. So in our passage this morning, we have the story of two cloaks, that of a person of low status and that of a person with the power of God flowing through him and from him. And why is that important? Because through the power of Jesus, a new disciple was made. Notice, it does not say that Bartimaeus was healed and could see and ran away. It doesn't say that. It says he was healed, he could see, and he followed Jesus. Makes it a point to let us know that he became a follower. Reading this, the question comes, how do you make new disciples? I mean, of course, you realize we're all ministers, right? We're all people who should, according to Scripture, be bringing people to Christ. How do we carry out that lay ministry? How do we represent Jesus in the community? What is our method of making new disciples? What is your pitch to attract people, to have them become members? I know some of the people here invite their friends. And they let their friends come and experience a service, and then the friends stay sometimes. Wish it happened all the time. We've had a bunch here over the years that I've been here. Unfortunately, too many of our brothers and sisters in Christ make no effort to offer the love of Christ and bring people in. But in this story, Jesus stops and says, "Bring him to me." Who didn't want to stop? His disciples and the people around him. Jesus taught a lesson here. You hear that man hollering? He needs help. Don't just ignore him. Don't just walk away. Here's our chance to gain a new follower. And he did. Well, Soren Kierkegaard is one of my absolute favorite philosophers and theologians. He was an observer of churches and ministers, and he has the Coursera Fair and different books that he wrote as he basically condemned the church, which, by the way, did not make him popular. But he saw things in the church that he thought was a contradiction, and he wrote about it. And in the process, the church started writing articles against him, and he was writing articles against them. But he says this, and I want you to think about this because, you know, if you're real observant, you can pick up on things. "I went into church and I sat on the velvet pew. I watched as the sun came shining through the stained glass windows. The minister, dressed in a velvet robe, opened the golden gilded Bible, marked it with a silk bookmark, and said, "If any man will be my disciple," said Jesus, "let him deny himself, take up his cross, sell what he has, give it to the poor, and follow me." Kierkegaard said he looked around to see who was laughing, and no one was laughing. Observations like this made the church angry, and they battled with him verbally for years. They didn't like being exposed for the hypocrites that they were. They gain all the gold and the silver, and they get everything in gold inlay, but there was no, in his case, no ministry or mission to the poor. Bartimaeus would not have been allowed in that church. He wasn't good enough. And yet they read that scripture. Give everything away. Follow me. Didn't happen. After all, that's a cloak of a different color. Saying one thing and doing something else. Not one of low status, not one of high status, but one of no moral compass, no spiritual connection with Jesus Christ. I ask you today, what cloak do you wear? One that brings people to Christ, or one that turns people away? One that allows others to throw off their old ways of living to adopt new ways, or one that keeps people down, keeps them in their place? There is only one cloak that matters in Mark's gospel, and his message to us in this passage and many other areas is, wear the cloak of Christ and you can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong. Stop. Listen. Help. No one but Jesus was willing to do that. Bring him to me. And he gained a new following. Wouldn't it be great if we were all bringing people in so that they know that the true ministry of Jesus Christ exists in this world? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, all too often we get our cloaks confused. We end up doing things that we wish we hadn't done, things that we shouldn't have done. But you, O Lord, fill us with your Spirit, fill us with your love, and you're with us everywhere we go. And we ask that you continue to be with us and you make us the people that you would have us be, that we will be the type who will stop, who will help, who will listen. Lord, we love you and we strive so hard to be good people, to be your people. And we ask that you continue to love us and hold us in your arms, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.